Hey everybody, welcome back to Pardonable Live. I'm your host, David Lilly, somewhere down the screen. I didn't add any kind of cool quip like published poet, but I am one, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But right now, should be streaming on X, Facebook, don't know why I'm doing that, YouTube, and maybe Twitch. So I'm probably over there streaming on Twitch, just pissing off a ton of gamers. Like, what is this nonsense? But if you're watching live on any of those, well, you're watching it live, just the way God intended it to be. Speaking of God, we're going to be talking about evangelicals and what they're up to lately, like it's any surprise, and talking about Trump and Nikki Haley and all that politics stuff. Thanks for hanging out with me on a Sunday night. Missed last Sunday, and the Sunday before that was the Super Bowl, so it's been a bit wonky, but I'm back. It's going to be a good time. We're going to make jokes and have fun and maybe get super inspirational tonight. And actually, we're going to start off inspirational. I'm going to start off plugging myself. So 2 weeks ago, I launched a book. It's called By Every Meaningless Measure, a book of art and poetry. That's me. That's me on the bottom of that thing. It has my name on it. It's because that's a work, collected all my works from the past decade, poetry and art, smashed them into a book. I might read a poem at the end. I know people love poetry. Like, God, I wish you would read it right off the bat. I'm probably going to save that to the end. I'm going to read a poem, one of my favorites in that book, and then kind of give you a little bit description to it. So here's the thing about that poetry. I know all you poem lovers out there, like, God, give me some poetry in my hands. I want to read a bunch of different, you know, phrases smashed together that have a lot of feeling and make you feel things. Not going to do a very good job at that. All my poem rhymes. I know. And it's got pictures next to it. It's basically a kid's book. I made a child's book, but for the thinking man that's not a child, but likes to read child. I don't know where I'm going with that. Either way, poetry rhymes, a lot of theological stuff in there, a lot of philosophical stuff in there. But before we get any, let's check this out. Check it out. I should have put this up earlier. You can go buy Every Meaningless Measure at pardonwill.com. Go there. You can find all my other stuff, art, merch. There's a section you can buy a signed copy. Haven't figured that part out yet. It just shows it up. If you go to buy a signed copy, it'll tell you no. I might just left that up there for a teaser. Be like, oh man, I really want a signed copy of that book, but this thing won't let me do it. I did that on purpose. No, I'm joking. I'm a bit of a Luddite. Haven't figured tech out yet. That's why I don't even know if I'm streaming on Twitch. I tried Rumble too. Rumble's so hard. I just gave up. Sorry, Rumble. Stop complicating things. Anyway, enough of that. Oh, and one last thing, because everyone likes to do this. Like and subscribe, you jabronis. I appreciate all you out there listening and watching. I'm sure you guys are like, God, this guy is the smartest man alive. I cannot believe I haven't liked and subscribed before. It's never too late. Go ahead. It's Sunday night. It's a little past 8, as usual. I always say I'm going to be here at 8. Always a little bit behind, but a wizard's never early or too late. He arrives precisely when he means to, and that's me. I arrived precisely when I mean to. News this weekend. Not a giant politics guy, but that seems to be the only thing that there is to talk about. I mean, there's some other stuff, but let's talk about what it's just in the peripheral. Got into a few arguments this week on Twitter or X. And I was like, I think I want to talk about this because this was big news. But first, starting up. So Trump and the Nikki Haley thing, they're going back at it at the Republican primaries, whatever that is. Nikki's been in it, and she's lost every state so far. Then there's like 3. South Carolina is supposed to be her big win because she's from there. So everyone's like, oh, she's going to win her home state, right? Nope, wrong. Definitely lost her home state to old Donnie. Donnie took it. But that wasn't the surprising thing that everyone wanted to talk about. Everyone probably already kind of knew. But the surprising thing was some stats came out. And so we're going to take a look at these real quick. I'll pull this up. So here's a tweet that I found. First, I'm going to read the tweet that shared this tweet, tweets upon tweets. It's inception with tweets. Kimberly Ross says, I'm a white evangelical Christian. I'm embarrassed by white evangelical Christians who have made Trump their golden calf. And I was like, well, this is kind of interesting. Let's see what she retweeted. So here's the CNN exit poll in South Carolina primary. White evangelical Christians voted 75% for Trump and 24% Haley. Everyone else voted 51 Haley, 49 Trump. All right. I don't even think I'll leave this up there. No, I won't. You get the point. We'll bring it back up in a minute. full disclosure, I'm white. I know you guys didn't know that. Those listening have been like, well, had me fooled. I'm a white, I'm a Christian, and I'm pretty much evangelical. I fall in that category. And somewhat proudly, I'd say. I don't mind that. I grew up evangelical Christian. Still am one. It's not something I walk around and tote. Like, I don't show up to parties and be like, what's up? What do you do for a living? Well, I do that. But really what's important is I'm a white evangelical Christian, especially that white part, in case you didn't know. I fall in that category. And to me, it didn't seem very, I didn't find it difficult that that people are increasingly going for Trump. What I did find it somewhat odd is there's this clip in the debates, and I know Trump wasn't there. Is Trump, and he didn't do the debates because I guess he didn't have to. We're kind of seeing he really didn't have to. But there was this moment that I was like, well, this seems like something that's very, very much up like an evangelical Christian's thing. So there's this whole debate about Israel and how much we should send to Israel for, you know, the whole Israel-Gaza thing. And Nikki Haley, to me, kind of threw me off a little bit because she says this one statement in this long, and I'm not taking it out of context. She's talking about like how we need to support Israel. And then she says, America doesn't need Israel doesn't need America. America needs Israel. Like, that's something she said. And of course she's on like the board of directors of Boeing and all that good stuff, whatever. Sure, she's a war hawk. Sure, she's all about funding wars, and she has that hard Republican stance, kind of like a Bush era. But right off the gate, everyone kind of felt like she was disingenuous. And I know that sounds weird to a lot of people who love Nikki Haley. But if you kind of just watch the way, I played a clip on my last time I did a live, or the time before that, where she was just kind of pandering to like, well, I grew up brown and I got picked on. I'm just like, oh, this all sounds like a Democrat talking playbook. And so the rumors came out that she was a Democrat plant. Seems kind of like it. And especially as long as she holds on to after losing state after state, kind of seems like she's just waiting for Trump to go to jail. Might be a great move. Might be a good gameplay. Does seem like she's siphoning money from donors into just a burning pile. But I guess you could say the same thing about Trump with all those legal lawsuits. We might get into that later. Back on to the Christians, because the Christians are really what I want to talk about, because I am one. What I found odd about these tweets, and people are like, I can't believe white evangelical Christians are voting for Trump. I think it comes from the moral responsibility to stand by people who follow inside of that moral category, which we all know Trump is not. If I was going to be like, point to me a famous white evangelical Christian, Trump probably wouldn't be on the list. Now, has he given his life to Christ? I don't know. I don't hang out with the guy often. I don't hang out with him often. I don't know, but I understand like the stand back of being like, this Trump guy does not seem like the deacon of your church. It just doesn't seem like a guy that would be, you know, righteous standing with everybody. And I get that. I completely get that. I think where people go too far is like that tweet before. It's like all these white evangelicals, you know, have the golden calf. Trump's their golden calf. He's an idol. As a matter of fact, I got into an argument and someone's like, oh, all you, this is the funny part, all you maggots always bow down. All these Christian maggots are always bowing down to everybody. Trump and ZG and Putin, you guys are all bowing down. And I was like, hold on a second. Like, I get it. Like, I think where they're coming from is like the hardcore. Do you guys remember when Trump was running the first time and he was always on stage with pastors and they were laying hands and like, oh, Lord bless Trump. I totally get that. I totally get that perspective of being like, all these Christians are so dumb. They just think Trump is the new Messiah. I understand that, but I think that's still taking it way too far. Now, is there a few out there? Maybe, but I wouldn't even call them Christians at that point. I mean, Christians are pretty aware, even if they're not like super theological, pretty aware of what idol worship is. Where I think people lose the plot is just who Trump is in a simple form. So this is going to get a little technical. And hear me out. I didn't get into politics till way late in the game. Before that, I studied apologetics, Christian apologetics. I was super interested in other religions, other beliefs, atheism, agnosticism. And I wanted to talk to those people. So I constantly, you know, talk to those pretty friendly. Never really met too many atheists that were like, yeah, you're an idiot. After talking to them, because once you get to know somebody and when you start to talk with them about certain topics, you start to gain a little bit even more respect if you can keep it somewhat civil. So I studied all this and I got really into debating religion and debating philosophy and theology. But then right about 2016, I wonder why, those debates stopped happening. And all of the conversations seemed to revolve around politics. And so I was like, well, this seems to be a new religion. Like, it just seems like everyone, no one cares about religion anymore. Let's talk about politics. And so I started to really look into politics. Haven't gotten far, obviously, not super smart with the politics thing, but I did notice that this idea of like everything is controlled, everything is the highest importance and priority right now is politics. It's the biggest thing out there. Religion, we can talk about religion later after we get this election over. It's kind of how it felt. So I was like, well, let me look into this politics thing. But what I don't understand is where people assume because an evangelical Christian is voting or at least, you know, favoring a candidate who doesn't have the highest moral standard that they would acclaim. I think that throws people off is I think because at the core of a Christian evangelical, their entire world belief is based off the idea that there already is a God. The government doesn't take that spot. And so the fight for like, we need to get, hear me out. It's a long rant. The fight for like, we need to get our guy in play is only a temporal one. Like, I don't know any Christian who likes Trump for him being Trump, like tax fraud or whatever. You grab him by the you-know-whats. And I don't think anybody's looking at him being like, no, that's a guy I need to frame my marriage after. Or I need to frame my father. I don't think anyone does that. I think Christians know, like, look, we have our Messiah. We don't need another one. And we're not looking at Trump or anybody or Nikki Haley or Joe Biden. We're not looking at a politician to be the Messiah. But I don't know if people who don't have a theological reference understand that's how that can work. Especially from the left side, which the majority of those, I would have to say, like, if you run into an atheist, you can almost pinpoint, I mean, not all the time, but you can almost pinpoint the direction that they vote. Without having a God, that standpoint, like this is the highest of authority, the next level down kind of is government. And so you see this all the time with left-leaning people, especially socialists coming, like the only way the world functions if the government is in charge. Christians don't have that worldview. And so when it comes to like voting for something, you can be all in for a candidate. Like I think Trump's hilarious. I think he's I don't have a problem with him as a politician. I also know he's a politician. I don't look at any of these people as messiahs. I don't think if Nikki Haley gets elected, I don't think that all of a sudden, you know, the world's going to turn around. I don't even think if Trump gets elected, we're going to see some great new revival breakout. I don't think Christians believe that. I think they believe they have their messiah, and then Trump is just another politician, along with all the other ones, the majority of them. Now, obviously, there's probably some wackadoodles. Always got to have your wackadoodles kind of even things out. And that I understand. But 75% white evangelical Christians voting for Trump over Nikki Haley in South Carolina, that just tells me that there's something else going on. I don't think they're like, this guy, if Jesus came down and was like, hey, I'm back, he's going to do. But if he came down tomorrow, I don't know. And Trump was like, no, I don't like that guy. I don't know if Christians would be like, no, I'm going to believe Trump on this one. I don't know if that would happen. I would like to hope it wouldn't happen. And I could be wrong, but from what I talked to Trump voters, and I know everyone's got their like caricature of a Trump voter, red hat, hillbilly, overalls, big belly, you know, toting a gun somewhere, probably low IQ. I mean, that's the caricature of middle America. You know, people hate middle America because they're like, well, look at them, all those uneducated high school dropouts out there. I know what they think when they think of Trump voters, but when I talk to Trump voters, that's not who I get. I get thoughtful people who are normally fairly nuanced, have an idea of how politics work. Maybe not super, they don't have a doctorate. They're not policy, they're not dived into news the same way I am. And I'm not even that dived into news, but they're looking at the world around them and they're looking at the things that are somewhat surface value in front of them. And when some things start going up like diesel, I don't know a liberal out. There might be a few liberals out there who drive those old Mercedes diesels and are like, diesel's going up. But most of them, I don't see that. Every person I know that drives a diesel, Republican. And so most of them have tractors. That's where the diesel goes. It's not just those big F-350s. I think everyone looks at them and be like, oh, look how dumb they are. They're not paying attention to CNN and all this foreign wars and stuff. They're just looking at their wallet and their kids coming home, touting different genders and telling them that they're racist. And that's what a Republican, a Trump Republican looks like. And they're like, I'm not here for all of the crazy minutia being like this, but they have some awareness of the world that's going on. And I think what Trump symbolizes to them is just something that isn't absurd. some form of this is not super, this just doesn't feel crazy woke. It doesn't feel like we want a bomber. It doesn't even feel, here's a weird thing. Trump, if I was going to play my cards right, he's just a really good politician. He's probably lying through his teeth, but I can understand them being like, no, he went to East Palestine, Ohio. He bought a bunch of people hamburgers. I don't think these people are asking much of a politician. I don't think middle America Trump supporters are going like, we need the right person at the right time for this, because this is the most valuable election. I think they're going, the world's gone crazy. And I remember what it was like having him in it. And I remember everyone hating them. And then here's the other hinge point of that coin, the other flip side of that Trump supporter coin. Everyone who came out against Trump when he was running and then was in presidency, everyone that had the loudest voice, they all said stuff about Trump that you could easily slide right over onto middle America, Texan, Florida, Trump voter. Everything they said to him, like, look how dumb he is. He isn't, speak. Look at him eat his steak well done. Look at him do these stupid redneck things. He's not smart. He's not intellectual. Where's his doctorate degree? I don't remember his foreign policy being tip top. Where's his Harvard degree? And we all saw these entirely verbose elites just crap on this guy. And most of them were sent back being like, yeah, I don't see myself that much different. He's a millionaire and he's still acting like a normal person. And you guys hate him? Well, then obviously you hate me. And that might not even be true. There might be some New York elites out there that are just like, look, we just want the best for everybody. And we just think, middle America, they do what their thing is. They want their guns. They want to hunt. But we want the best for it. That's not coming off that way. So here's my assessment of this whole thing. With the idea of evangelical Christians, they don't need a Messiah. They don't need to look for one in politicians. It's just an election. They just want the one guy who seems to be somewhat grounded in reality, who has a bit of a sense of humor the way they do, who might be able to kick back. And no, Trump doesn't drink, but have a beer with him. Feels like this. It doesn't feel elite. It doesn't feel a doctorate. And I think what they got out of all of the past 3 years, maybe, and I tweeted this out, and I think it's something I really want to hone in on, is I think people forgot about this. This idea of intelligence, this expertise, like I'm highly intelligent, it's not a virtue. Just because you're smart doesn't make you morally superior. And I think people forget about that. They think, education is what turns society into moral creatures. That's been touted for decades. Been like, well, this community over here, they're degenerates and they're ruining everything. What we need is better schools. Put them in there and give them a better education. Newsflash, just because you get smarter doesn't mean you become more righteous or more moral or more kind or more considerate or more empathetic. Intelligence isn't a virtue. It's just an attribute. Experts aren't angels. Just because you get your PhD doesn't mean you should be trusted with everything. And actually starts to pull back because we saw what experts do. And if there's any inclination of what happens when you gain power and authority, especially through intelligence, is you have a tendency to look at those who don't reach that particular level of intelligence as lesser than because you've achieved it. When, to be honest, you probably couldn't change a tire. I call the tire test one of the best philosophical concepts of all time. Just because if you have a PhD and you can change a tire, you got the best of both worlds. But if you don't understand the common sense of, here's a free one for you. When you go to change a tire and you go to loosen the lug nuts, don't jack the car up first. Loosen the lug nuts while it's on the ground, then jack the car up. The reason behind that is because when the car's off the ground, the tire wants to spin. So when you go to loosen, simple things like this, your low IQ, middle America, Trump support, they know. They know basic concepts. And so when you go, why, you don't need a magazine with 30 rounds. I'm like, the hell I don't. I just shot like 12 coyotes in the back trying to get to my chickens. What do you know? What do you know about life? All you know is your expertise. Well, I studied, English literature and I have a PhD. That's great. That's super cool. I'm glad you can quote all that. But you couldn't do any of this normal basic stuff. We've built a complete society of no jack of all trades anymore. You can't do things like, roof a house and then teach a Sunday school class or teach a, you can't, be a mechanic and be a, electrical engineer. You can't do these things. But people back in the day used to have to know how to do basic things. And then at night, sit down and have a philosophical deep chat with your friends. I know that sounds asinine nowadays, but I guarantee you, if you go back and look at old writers, most of them understood the basic concepts of what it meant to survive, because most people had to in their daily life. Even the ones who wrote the books, even our founding fathers, they weren't, I'm pretty sure most of them knew how to change a wagon wheel. I mean, don't fact check me on that, but I'm going to go and say, yeah, they kind of had some major aspects and common sense. So I say all that to this idea that exhorting intelligence and expertise and PhDs, is it good? Yes. Do I want my doctor to have a high intelligence? Absolutely. Do I expect my doctor to be able to change my tire? No. But in a really dire situation to critically think, to be able to move in these different directions, I hope my doctor has some form of, you know, stress management, some idea of common sense. Like if I, you know, not everything is in books, but I mean, honestly, they could probably get away with not. But what I don't expect is for some PhD in, you know, elite New York City in their high rise to look out and go, how are dumb are these evangelical Christians voting for Trump? Don't they know he said that, grab that lady by that thing? Don't they know that they raided Mar-a-Lago? Most of those people out there watching this are going, like, I'm watching you do all this stuff to the same guy. Well, I'm watching the other politicians who we also know are liars. You're not even doing anything to them. This idea that every person just watches Fox, all these people just watch Fox. No, chances are they probably don't just watch Fox. They're literally just watching the world around them fall apart. And so if anything they can do, if there's anything, it's like, hey, you get Nikki Haley, who thinks that America needs Israel, not Israel needs America. She wants to send a ton more money to Ukraine. She's basically, I mean, if you were to like throw a Kamala Harris over, you'd be like, well, that's a really articulate Kamala Harris, threw me off. She's basically a Democrat. Most of these people can see through that. And what throws people off is like, how do they see this? How do they see this person, this Nikki Haley chick, how do they see through her whole facade? It's because they know how to change a tire. It's because they can call, they know BS when they see it. Now, do they know if Trump's BSing them? Maybe. But in the whole grand scheme of things, they have their Messiah. They believe in Jesus. And they still think Jesus has the world in his hands. And so they're just going to vote for the person they think might be the best for the next 4 years. It's not that difficult. It's not insane. Nor is it idiotic to think that, you know, like, because they believe in Jesus, they got golden calves of Trump. No. No, I'm sure a ton of, like we saw in that tweet, evangelical Christians wanted DeSantis to go in. That makes sense too. Not everything is about idol worship. If you have a theological background, if you're at least a theist, but if you're at least a Christian, you know, this is not the end all be all. Trump is not the Messiah. He's not the savior, but he might do way better than Joe Biden. I mean, that one's an easy one, but might do better than DeSantis. DeSantis doesn't seem like he has a backbone. Well, why are all these Trump supporters so concerned about backbone and presentation? It's because that's normal stuff in a normal everyday thing. When you go buy a car, people can read. I mean, you don't even have to be an elite. Go buy a broken down truck from a car dealership. You have to learn how to sniff out garbage. You have to learn to find people who are trustworthy. You have to learn how to, if people talk a game, at least you can read them if they're quiet and standoffish. Well, DeSantis has great policies. Yes, I love DeSantis. I think he's amazing. Is he the guy for the job? Maybe. But he dropped out and endorsed Trump. And to be honest, I didn't like his campaign. He seemed like he was missing something. I said about this a few live streams back. I don't know what that is, except for the fact that I can read people somewhat well enough to get by this far in life without getting completely scammed. And again, had DeSantis been the nominee, all of these Trump supporters, you know what they wouldn't be doing? Throwing a fit. I mean, yeah, they would have thrown a fit for a little bit, but I guarantee they're not going to tell people to vote for Joe Biden, which is the complete opposite of what I'm seeing from a lot of these DeSantis people online, which threw me off. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine who was all in for DeSantis, and he was going back and forth, and we were talking, and I was like, I like DeSantis, I'm for it. But the Trump, I understand why people want to vote for Trump. And I understand why people want vengeance, because they literally just watched every major mainstream media person just talk down to them and tell them that they're stupid. And then every time they're like, wait, I don't know if I'm cool about getting my kids vaxxed. They seem to be doing, no, you're a vax denier. You're an idiot. You need to get out. I'm just like, whoa, hold on. Like, I just want to be in the conversation. No, you're a dumb middle America white evangelical Christian. You keep your religion out of our politics. Like, this isn't even a religion. This is just freaking common sense. You guys not questioning things? Do you assume that there's good politicians and bad politicians? Do you think some of them are lying and some of them aren't? most of middle America being like, dude, we've all dealt with car salesmen. We know they lie. We just like the one that can relate to us a little bit better. That's it. We're not dumb because we assume the government's lying to us. We're a little worried about you guys that you're so all in on something. And if any signifier that Trump might be a valuable candidate, it's because of everyone on the outside. And this comes from a guy who's on the outside. I'm independent. I fall in the libertarian camps. I even like RFK, except for all of his wonky guns and climate change stuff. I think he would be a great candidate. But you guys hate Trump so much. And the more you hate Trump, the more you crap on Trump supporters, the more they're going to stand their ground. Because guess what? They're stubborn. And that's what makes them awesome. Is because you can be like, hey, your guy, you think he's a Messiah? No. He's a golden calf to you. No, he's not. He could not even be running. I'd still vote for the quote-unquote Republican. They don't care because it's not a Messiah game to them. They have their Messiah. That's my rant. So if you are questioning me, like, I don't understand this Trump thing. I don't understand why these Christians, look how bad moral he is. They're not looking for a moral figure to run the country. That crap got tossed out when people were getting BJs in the White House. I don't think anybody after that point was like, oh, we were really just being fooled. No, everyone knows this. That's my worry, especially when Biden ran. We're like, the adults are back in the room, right? So here's a great scenario. Do you guys remember this? And people were like, God, I'm so sick of hearing the mainstream media. I remember this. I'm so sick of hearing about Trump. If Trump loses, I might not actually be that mad about it. Biden's old. He seems like a moderate. He's a bit decrepit. Things probably won't get done. They'll probably just stay the same. We just had COVID. Hopefully, maybe he'll come in and just be like, look, let's just take a break for a minute. COVID just happened. We're going to get back to some kind of normal. It's what they promised us, right? Adults are in the room. And then they brought a guy who's pretending to be a woman to be the general of health. What? The guy who's in charge of the energy and nuclear waste is bald, wearing lipstick and high heels in the White House? Hold on. What a part of adult is this? There's pride parades where men who have breast implants are flashing while women who have them cut off are topless. Nothing makes sense. You actually went the opposite direction. So if anybody who was like, hey, I thought Biden might have been a cadaver who would have done something decent, has completely botched anything that we could have hoped for, why wouldn't they look at Trump and be like, God, I miss that. Even if it means another 4 years of the Lincoln Project coming out with dumb videos, even if it means all the mainstream media crapping on people who aren't even Republican, like Joe Rogan, for taking vitamins and a medicine that's built for normal, like everything that's happened, if you take it all and smash it into one and go, how come these dumb Republicans are still voting for Trump? Don't they see all? Yeah, we saw all the stuff that you said he did. And then we saw all the retractions that you decided not to bring up, like Russiagate. Yeah. Yeah, we saw that too. And so do we think Trump is lying? Maybe. Do we think you're lying? Absolutely. So if I have to pick one, the people I know are lying because they're doing it constantly in my face, pretending that I don't see it, or the person who might be lying, but at least is buying me a cheeseburger when the train derails and my president can't even get off his butt to go see, let alone the Department of Secretary can't make it because he's in a pregnancy ward with his husband holding a baby that they didn't have. That's a new one. Where's he at? Oh, you know, he's pretending. That's where our department. Do you not see this? And everyone comes at me. Well, DeSantis would have been better. That would have actually been normalcy. Trump is bombastic. He's dumb. He makes fun of people. Sure. Then give me DeSantis. But DeSantis couldn't hack it because DeSantis didn't have at least the fervor to fight these people the way Trump did. That's why I think Vivek did such a good job with the middle America crowd. It's because he called out the debate hosts from CNN or Newsmax, whatever. They called him out in the middle of it. And then he called out the RNC chair. I think the majority of Republicans, again, not a Republican, but I can see the majority of them care less about moral fortitude and care majority about backbone. And I think it's about right time they do. I would love to see somebody with backbone rise up and just shove Trump out of the way. But that backbone thing is hard to find. And it's hard to come by nowadays. And even as somebody who's apolitical, doesn't know all the stats, doesn't know all the policies, there's a few things I can see. And I know that from just watching the world around me. I can normally run into people and I can talk to them for about 5 minutes and find out whether or not they have a backbone. And even if they disagree with me and they're a little bit more, they have a backbone about them. more respect is given. I'm sorry, DeSantis didn't come out with the backbone. He touted his policies. And at the time, what we're going through of being like, well, man, your policies are great, but world's crumbling apart. I need somebody at least is going to call this out. And so I still like DeSantis. I hope he runs in 2028. I think that'll be great unless somebody else shows up. And if he does, I might vote for him. But for right now, the vitriol against evangelical Christians, look, they don't always get it right. There's their whole spats between them. I don't expect them to. And I don't even mind if some of them are low IQ or the majority of them are low IQ. Because, again, intelligence is not a virtue. Just because you're not smart doesn't mean you're evil either. Doesn't mean you're good either. And just because you have a PhD doesn't mean that you're righteous. And experts aren't angels. It's the same thing I keep saying. I don't understand. No, I do understand. When in a world without a God, we saw this. Science is the new God. God is dead. Nietzsche talked about that. God is dead. What games do we need to create now? Well, the people who hold the science in their hands, they're the new popes, the new prophets. So who else do you have to look to other than those who are, you know, telling you, trust the experts, right? Because trust the experts is the new way of saying, you know, trust your pastor. Problem is, we watch the experts flounder. And so I don't understand why people think, well, these dumb evangelical Christians are holding tight to the religion while boasting up a guy who's has a moral equivalency to an inmate, playboy, actor, whatever. I can totally see it. It totally makes sense to me. And I'm all here for it. I think the more people rail up against it, the more the VOD gets. Me, again, as an independent, somewhat pseudo-libertarian, I like it. I like Trump. I don't think he's going to fix the country. You want to know why? And I can tell you, I can tell you right now, majority of Republicans, majority of these white Christian evangelicals, they don't think Trump's going to fix the country because they believe Jesus will. Like, if there's something that's going to solve our problem right now, it's not Trump, it's Christ. And that's what they're hoping. They're just hoping, you know, this Trump guy might get it stave off enough to where they can have church without going to jail. Because that happened, if you forgot. People, pastors were holding service, were going to jail. That was a fun time. And I think people just don't want that. And I think if you were to be like, hey, maybe we elect a Democrat and maybe things go back to normal, I think white evangelical Christians will tone down the Trump rhetoric and go, you know, he's a cool guy. I get it. He was in Home Alone, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That was a great episode. Yeah, but I'm not. They don't have to show up at rallies. But right now they're showing up at rallies because everyone's telling them not to. And the more you tell them not to, the more they're going to get suspicious. They're already highly suspicious. And they may be conspiracy theorists, but newsflash, all the conspiracies are turning out just to be news. And so I give it to them. And I think if you want unification on the Republican side, and you don't think you can unify under Trump, that's fine. I'm not worried about it either way. Again, not looking for a messiah. But I would like to see a Trump in the office coming up. If anything, just to go back to people knowing what the government really is. And I mean, I hate to say this, but it's a bit of a joke. I don't think those people in DC really know what they're doing. And I'd hope they don't know what they're doing. Because from what I've seen, if they know what they're doing, it's far more evil than it is, you know, ignorance. And so at least Trump being in the White House made things somewhat relatable of us all going, yeah, we know they lie. Look at Trump. He's eating taco salad at his golden desk or whatever. Like, we know it's a joke. We get it. But at least we can somewhat wave our flag and drive our trucks without worrying about us losing our car dealership and our town going under, or worried about that we're just going to bend over backwards for whatever new ideology that comes through down the woke train. You know, and then they can hold on to some wins. Because I still think it's super weird for Christians. Look, Christians love Roe v. Wade being overturned. You want to know why? Because the entire concept of federalism with the states being able to make their own, and that was a big thing that came up. They're like, oh my God, Alabama was like, we don't know if we should do IVF. I don't have any qualms with IVF at this moment. I haven't thought too much about it. But just the idea that this is back on the table to talk about, this Roe v. Wade thing. It's not just abortion up to whenever you want, third, whatever it was before, but now people, because it got kicked back, people are like, no, that's abortion up to birth. Do you not think Christian evangelical Republicans are going to be like, no. Now we have to really consider. Because it being kicked back, the states brought the conversation back up to the table. So now people are talking about when does the sovereignty, when does the sanctity of life come into, which is a great conversation to have with anybody. Everyone has their ideas of when it, what it means to be human and at what point in time. And that conversation needs to never go away. Because as soon as that conversation starts to get kicked, no, we all know, you know, it's at birth. We all know it's these certain people. We all know that if you have a particular mental illness, then that doesn't quite qualify you, because we've established, the government has established, sanctity of life is only people who are cognizant and can survive on their own. Pull that breathing tube out, see if they live. And if they don't, then, you know, it is what it is. I don't think so. And I like the fact that it's back on the table. Even if Colorado's like up to birth, you think you Trump Republicans, you think you're gonna stave off Roe v. Wade? We're gonna make it abortions after birth, up to 3 years old. We'll just be slaughtering children left and right. Watch us. Trump's so evil. You guys are missing the forest for the trees. And Republicans, the big thing with them is they're always feckless. It always seems like they have no spine. They're always in there being like, slow down, Democrats. Like, we always hear that. Like, it's not even that they're fighting progressivism. It's that they're just trying to slow it down. And we know that. We all Trump Republicans, I'm saying we as if I'm in that camp, because apparently I am. We call it enough this weekend. We know that they're doing that. We know that they're feckless. We just want to see somebody stands up and goes, let's kick Roe v. Wade back to the state so at least we can have a conversation. And if I'm in the libertarian camp, if Colorado wants to just kill three, I'm definitely not going to like that. I'm going to speak up against it so that I'm blue in the face, but at least the conversation's being had. And I appreciate that than it being just federalized across the nation. But that's just the libertarian tendency in me. I don't like things federalized. I don't even know if I would agree with a federal abortion ban, even though I think that is the moral thing to do and the righteous thing to do. And I think the country would be better off for it. But I don't think people are there yet. Here's a cool thing about the Bible. And I'll bring this up real quick. A lot of conversations about the Bible, like, well, you know, the law says this, Old Testament, it seems like God's a different person. Weird that I'm bringing this back to that. Seems like God's a different person. And then there's this weird conversation growing up that you could, what if Jesus came back earlier? Why did Jesus come when he did, right? There's all this old, if God's the same yesterday, he's over here talking about war and famine and kill the Canaanites and, you know, slaughter their cows and their children. What is this God over here? And then Jesus pops in. Why couldn't he have showed up earlier? Why couldn't have been later? And it goes back to what I said at the beginning of the whole Gandalf reference about showing up right when you precisely mean to. And why is the law, the Old Testament law, seem so arbitrary? Like, don't eat shellfish, don't do this. And a lot of these things seem to be totally disconnected from us and our culture today. And a lot of that has to do with when people are ready for it. So you can start people on the path. I mean, Romans talks about this, and, you know, sin was sin. Without the law, they didn't know. And then when the law came in, sin used that against them to take the law and make them found guilty. It's a whole thing, but people aren't ready for that stuff. It's Back to the Future. You know, it's him being like playing Chuck Berry. And everyone's looking at him. He's like, you're not ready for this, but your kids are going to love it. That's how I feel about the abortion debate. And I think that's a majority of how Republicans feel, the Trumpers. Like, yeah, maybe we're not going to get all we want. But if we can just bring this back to a conversation, can we talk about what is a woman? Can we at least start talking about that? Because you guys left the train way long ago. You're like, no, anybody can be a woman. What is a woman? Well, it's a woman who identifies as a woman. But that seems circular. No, shut up. Just identify, and we're like, no, none of this. Can we come back to an actual conversation before we jump on the rails and just start saying random stuff from the White House, making up random? This stuff is coming from the highest office in the land. And all Trump Republicans are going like, we didn't even have a conversation about this yet. And you guys are just bailing off. So yeah, I get Trump Republicans. True Hype says a lot of that uniparty stuff is real, and I can't stand feckless politicians, and we need statesmen. Here, good sir. I totally agree. Yeah, I can't claim to have the mind of every evangelical Christian out there. I'm not there. I am one, but I don't agree with everything that they do or say. And I know there's a bunch out there that probably have Trump tattoos, and maybe they think Trump might be the coming Messiah or the next prophet. Maybe they're out there. But I mean, on the flip scale, you know, there were people out there calling themselves Cuomo-sexuals when Andrew Cuomo was in state during COVID. Like, this stuff is crazy. Michael Giuliano says, gold sneakers for everybody. Dude, if Trump does that, I'm in. I'm totally in. Just everybody. And that could be his bribe, since, you know, the Democrats are giving out free college to anybody who votes for him. Trump would be like, hey, if you guys are going to play that game, I'm giving free sneakers out to everybody who votes for me. Why not? It's playing the game. That's a whole nother episode for another time. I do think there's a longer conversation, something that I think we all should be having right now, as I keep running into this. Matter of fact, I might bring a guest on maybe next week and we'll talk about this. A lot of people talk about the Republicans being slow to act and slow to address certain issues and just slowing down progressivism because they're standing on principles. Now, we all know, and people say this all the time, Republicans play dirty. I've heard that out of Democrats' mouth all the time. I can't think of a better situation of the pot calling the kettle black than that. But we all know lefties' projections are greatest tools. So whatever they're telling you're doing, you can almost put money to the bank. Well, not banks nowadays. You can almost put money in crypto that they're doing the same thing, and they're just trying not to get you to look at it. I think this idea that if Republicans are going to play the game, they have to keep their hands clean. I get that. And I think they should. And I think Republicans should stay on principle when they go to play these games. I don't know if locking up your political opponent just because the other side's trying to do it is the best route. But I'm starting to wonder if that's not playing dirty when the rules change. Here's what I mean by that. Can you play a game? And when the rules shift, is it principled to play by the old rules because those were established? Because if the rules shift and you didn't agree to that, can you do that? And is that principled? To me, I think that's where Republicans are. The game's changed. The Democrats have changed the rules. And they're like, no, we're principled. We're going to stand on our you know, haunches. And we're going to play the game the way we've always played it. Because that's how it is. And we're trying to at least conserve the game. I don't know if that's going to be a winning strategy. Matter of fact, I don't even think they're doing, if you're gonna, here's my message to all you Republicans out there. If you're gonna do that, learn how to play the game well, because you're not doing a good job playing even by your own rules. We talked about abortion. Here's a good way. I'll give you an example on how to play the game by your standards, your principles, the old rules without playing dirty. The words pro-choice, pro-life. Those are your big things. People are either pro-choice, pro-life. If you know, believe in abortion, you're pro-choice. Women should have a choice. If you're pro-life, you're like, no, we're pro-life because life is a conception. Doesn't matter what the woman chooses. It's a life. Great. Horrible messaging. Because really what it seems to be now is it's not about pro-choice. It's pro-human sacrifice. Now, hear me out. I know, David, that's super harsh, man. I've got friends. This is you talking to me. I've got friends who've had abortions, and it's a super big issue. I can't just be going around being like, hey, you're a child sacrificer. Yes, you should not be doing that. But when the argument comes up of being like, are you pro-life or pro-choice? Be like, I'm anti-sacrifice. Be like, whoa, that seems a little gaudy. No, it's not. Because if it comes down to a choice, either the baby or what? What's the choice? Either have the baby or live my life, go to school. You know, raise a family when I'm ready. Well, then you're sacrificing the child for that. No, it's not. You're not, you know, standing on, statue of Moloch, you know, throwing babies into the fire. But essentially, it's a sacrifice. Having a child is a sacrifice. You're pro-sacrifice. Is that harsh messaging? Yes. Is it principled? Yes. Is it playing the game by the regular rules that Republicans always talk about? Yes. It's messaging. Now, does anyone want to be equated to, you know, being a child sacrificer? No. And I don't think we should do that. But I think as soon as you open up that gate where every time someone brings up pro-choice or pro-life, be like, oh, I'm sorry. I feel like there should be certain circumstances in the States where we consider the mother's well-being and the feelings of where they are, but I cannot subscribe to child sacrifice. Then it's record skip. So that's my suggestion for you Republicans. There's tons of other ones. There's great ways to play this political game. Stand on your principles, not play dirty, but play it better than how you've been doing it. And so that's my little bit of advice. Hit me up, like and subscribe for more advice on how Republicans can do better and stop sucking, because you guys are sucking. But really, I wasn't here to talk about Republicans. I really wanted to address the white evangelical Christian thing. All you white evangelical Christians out there, if you do think Trump is the next Messiah, you read your Bible. You guys are slacking. Not the Messiah. We already got one of them. He's coming back, but he ain't going to have a tan with a white blonde frilly hair grabbing people by your new what's. That's not what Jesus is going to do when he comes back. Look for a guy on a white horse with a tattoo on his thigh. Anyway, thanks for showing up to this Pardon Will. A bunch of comments about shoes. I haven't got my gold Trump shoes in yet, but I did watch an SNL skit from last night with Shane Gillis. That skit was hilarious. Oh, here's a new way to know that you're winning a bit of the culture war, even on the Trump side. I know people who hate Trump are going to hate hearing this, but it's fun for even Trump people to laugh at SNL skits about Trump. You want to know why? He's not the Messiah. We can draw pictures of Trump. We're not going to kill you. We're not going to go out and, you know, Charlie Hebdo you, because he's not our Messiah. He's not in Christian evangelicals, not the Messiah. You can make fun of him. You can put jokes on SNL and we'll have a good time too, because it's funny, because we have our priorities in place: God, family, church, and then all that politics stuff is down here. So our priorities are there. The government's not at the top. We're not looking to take over the government and make this all. I mean, there are. That's a whole nother. I'll talk about Christian nationalism next week. Maybe that's what I'll do. Christian national next week. Michael Giuliano says, I got mine. Oh, it's right. Michael Giuliano has his own custom gold shoes. Go to his page and check those out. Actually, Air Force Ones, gold Air Force Ones. One of a kind. They're living rent-free. I think people who hate Trump secretly love him. I think that's it. Because even I don't like Biden, but I don't wish harm on that guy. I mean, you don't have to. The poor guys. Oh, and that was part of the SNL skit. That was a fun thing. They made fun of Trump the whole time. It was great. It was funny. We liked it. Trump's people thought it was funny. And then they made fun of Biden at the end. Just a little burp. And we're like, hey, now it feels fair. Now it feels back to normal. Now we've gotten things back to normal. That whole, like, Joe Biden, the adults feel like they're back in the room because SNL might be funny one time. That's not a big ask, guys. Trump supporters aren't going ham. Like, we want abortion ban federal. They just want good SNL skits. I don't get it. I don't know how you guys don't see this and think that all Trump supporters are you know, J6ers. J6ers didn't even show up armed. The Trump supporters who are armed didn't go to J6. You know what they were doing? Sitting down going, man, I sure hope we get a good SNL skit. That's, you want normalcy? Start acting normal. And that goes for everybody. Everybody in the room. Everybody listen to this. You want normalcy? Be the normal you want to see. Oh, I should put that on a t-shirt. That was actually pretty good. I'm going to have to clip that one. Don't steal it. Anyway, Michael Giuliano says, small government, big Pardon Will merch. Hi-yo, go to pardonwill.com. You will find this book, By Every Meaningless Measure, right at the top. You can also go there and find my merch. Scroll at the top of the tab, hit Pardon Will merch. Got merch up there. I might start adding more to that soon. As promised, I'm going to read a poem. We're late into the game. Most people are joining in, watching. I'll read. Oh, my God. I'm going to read. Since we're on in the chat, do you guys want large poem or small poem? Large poem or small poem? I'm going to read one. One of mine, not someone else's. Wouldn't that be funny? Hey, guys, check out this poem. Read it and be like, that was by someone else. All right, no one's in chat. No one cares. I'm just going to read whatever I want to be read. Here's a good one. Actually, I'm going to pick this one. This one's good since we're on white evangelical Christian topic tonight. I'm going to read this poem. This is exclusively for you guys because the audiobook is not coming out. Salt. Not going to read Salt yet. appreciate that though. I did that one over the audio. I'm going to read one that no one's heard. Thank you though. I do appreciate that. This one's cool. And I'm going to give a short little summary of it after. It's not super long. It kind of is super long. I'm going to read it quickly. And I'll explain to you because it's a little bit weird, but it goes into all my poems are about Jesus. So it's fair. This one's called Move Dirt. We are fireflies sealed in a jar, carried about to fight off the curse. We've never been closer while being so far. My body, a seed to be planted in the earth. Father, forgive them and the stones that don't cry out. The silent comply when leaving their fists. The only rocks that they can move are those in their hands, while we move mountains with the faith on our lips. Better to break our bones stumbling over bricks than be crushed by the weight of your cornerstone, while my brother fell asleep at the feet of your love, overcome by the sight of your glory shown. Their lips are sweet with wine and fraud, our heads held high with a winding rope. O Caesar, will you turn my cross upside down? I'm not worthy to die likened to my Lord. We move dirt, but I'm no earth shaker. We sing songs with broken teeth. We'll stand tall with our backs to the ground, while our coats are stacked like towers at their feet. I'll bury my brothers with the sun going down. I'll bury my sisters while the days are long. We'll rise like mountains when your kingdom comes. We'll rise like mountains to death's own burial song. We sprout like trees. We sprout like trees from the blood of the saints. Our lives are but seeds. Our lives are but seeds. We count all loss as gain. We are fireflies sealed in a jar, carried about to fight off the curse. We've never been closer while being so far. My body a seed to be planted in the earth. That poem is called Move Dirt. I know you guys love poetry. That's why you all stuck around. I appreciate that. This poem, Move Dirt, is a synopsis of a bit of two things. All of the martyrdom in the New Testament in Acts, when all the apostles are going to their death, there's multiple references in there. Peter's, I don't know if that's not in scripture, but Peter calling for Caesar to turn his cross upside down because he didn't, speaking of which, the Satanists out there with an upside down cross, it's just St. Peter's cross. It's because he didn't want to die similar to his Lord. He didn't think he was worthy enough to be hung on a cross right side up, so he asked him to turn it upside down. Stephen was stoned to death, and all the Pharisees and people who were stoning him to death, to stone him. He didn't do anything. He just sat there and prayed. He was just sitting there at the edge of the town praying, and they all got together, took their coats off, and folded them and stacked them like towers, and then proceeded to stone him to death. And in the process, he was praying for them. And he was, what it says, the scripture says, he was overcome by the glory of the bright shining light of the Lord. Basically, he saw Jesus as he was dying. So there's a ton of references in there from the martyrs. And then also the Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is a great book, Christian martyrdom. But the fun part about that poem is the beginning and the very end, that we are fireflies sealed in a jar. And it sounds super weird. Like, what does that have to do with any of this stuff? I actually put that in there directly on purpose because of how weird, mystical, and mythical it sounds. It sounds like a fairy tale. We're fireflies sealed in a jar. You know, it sounds like something Tolkien would do. Put fireflies in a jar and it wards off the curse, some Harry Potter style. And I put that in the front because everyone seems to think that Christianity is just a myth. Well, everyone, certain sect. Christianity is just a myth. It's just fairy tales for adult children. They just never grew out of the Santa Claus thing. It's just fairy tales. They all believe this stuff. If they are put to test, they wouldn't. They just like their stories. It's not real. And so I put that at the beginning and the end. So when you read it, here's an example of what a fairy tale sounds like. Now here's an example of what people who really believe in what they believe in do. They don't wander around with fireflies in a jar. They go to the death, and they do it praying for those who kill them. That's belief. It's not a fairy tale to them. It's not a fairy tale to me. And so that's what that poem signifies. Once again, if you want to buy this book, go to pardonwill.com. Got super serious all night. Been super serious all night. I appreciate everybody in the chat, especially you, Michael Giuliano. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I might read Salt next time. You can go to YouTube channel, Pardonwill. YouTube.com, Pardonwill, and see Apply Salt. I did a whole video and read it out. probably one of my favorites. What the book's named after. There's a line in there that says, by every meaningless measure. Anyway, I'll read that next time because Michael really wanted to hear it. Thank you guys for joining. I'll be back every Sunday, 8 o'clock. Hopefully, I'm streaming on Twitch. I almost put a graphic up, but it has the Twitch sign on. I was like, I should double check this before I start putting up a cool graphic. Thank you guys all for joining. I got an interview this week that'll be up next week, as well as coming back. So anyway, love you guys. Have a blessed week. Try to stay sane. Try not to feel like the world's out against you. It's not. Even if you're a DeSantis supporter, I know it seems like all these hardcore Trumps out there, just they hate your guts because you want to ride into DeSantis. The truth is, they hate your guts. I'm not gonna lie, they do. They think they don't know what's wrong with you. Because the majority of them had Trump lost the nomination. Probably would not write in. Actually, I take that back. They probably would write in Trump. And Trump would probably have won. Anyway, you guys have a wonderful night. I will see you back here next time. Bye.